Episode 207, August 17th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The Rob and Joe Show returns live August 17th, 7:30 p.m. The very first Ravens postgame show starring Joe Robinson. This season happened, and it was amazing.
This is Joe Robinson on Bud Light. Sorry, no it's not. Coors Light, last call.
Like I said, it was amazing, except for doing the one thing wrong that you can't do wrong. Fuck up the sponsor. You're fired.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
There you have it, Joe. You're one fuck up, and we lead the show off with it. We are
nah, that's okay. I don't think. You know. By the way, you know what happened? That guy Casey. I had the Coors Light last call. I had the clock in front
of me. That's the name of the post game show. It's sponsored.
And I kept reading it right off the clock. And the clock is the I guess I should explain that a little bit. There's a printout that says, hey, here's what we're going to be doing at each time during the 2 hours that we're broadcasting. You know, songs, spots, whatever. And it said Coors Light last call at the top. So I just had that there. It's just so I could go look at that and read it and whatever. Well, the kid, Casey, the ginger that was in there, moved it and put the pregame, which is Bud Light. And so he put that there, and as soon as I just looked right over and I read like I'd been doing, and then it's but I caught myself. So,
what if it had if it was another sponsor, but wasn't a beer? It said like Verizon Wireless.
No, I'm legitimately like Ron Burgundy. Whatever's written, I just start reading.
Well, I mean, other than that, it was a pretty successful run at it. Just to refresh everyone's memory, the post game show will star the Ravens post game this year. Will star Joe Robinson. And we had a preseason version of it for the very first preseason game this past Thursday, the 13th. And I was helping out. So was a fellow local comedian here, Tommy Simbazo. And that's really the only thing that went wrong. But that is kind of a big screw up. I mean, are you worried that you're going to have some ramifications from that?
No, I haven't heard a word. I did send an email to the program director saying, hey, here's what I thought went well. Here's what I thought needed improvement, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't mention that I said the wrong sponsor. You know what I mean? That's clearly something I'm not supposed to do.
You didn't in the email, you didn't say I had a great time on the Bud Light last call postgame show.
No, I think I'm never going to mention that.
But even if you said the sponsor correctly, sometimes you said it incorrectly, Joe.
What do you mean?
You kept calling it Coors Light's last call.
Yeah. Yeah, a little
problem. Right, like apostrophe, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I put the possessive.
Yeah, you did.
You say kept. I did that one time.
No, you did it more than once. I have it recorded.
All right, good, yeah, great.
Robbie has the entire, what he's done is he edited out all the music and commercials, And he has what amounts to about a half hour of material. And it's up on our website. You can see the link. It'll be on our Facebook and Twitter. But you know what I like to do? Because I really am proud of how it went, especially the opening break, because that I think it really does a good job of summing up what we are trying to do with this show, talk football, but also, you know, have fun with it. Can we just play the first segment?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Do not tell me that I'm not allowed to be excited about a preseason game. People keep telling me it's not important. I get to decide how important it is. It's my decision. You don't get to impose your will on me. You're going to tell me it's not important? I say that it was important. It's important in the Robinson house. This is Joe Robinson on 98 Rock with Coors Light's Last Call on the flagship for the Baltimore Ravens. That was pretty fun. Actually, it's so much fun. It's late. It's late. Most of the time, you're sitting here by yourself in the studio, but there are six people here in studio, which is strange. Some people have to be here. We have comedian Rob Mayers here.
Good evening. Good evening,
Tommy Sambazo's here. Evening. Chris Likealot running the board is here. But Andrew and Casey, do they have to be here, Chris? Do they have to be in studio?
I'm training them.
God, I don't want him in here. How do we?
Well, Joe, it's preseason. There's a lot of backups here. You can, everyone has to play.
What if you, well, a lot of backups don't make the team, okay?
Chances are Casey won't make the team.
A lot of backups go to the practice squad, and then a lot of them, they just stay there, okay? That happens. But this was an exciting game, people. I'm sorry. I'm excited because what do you want in preseason? First of all, you want no injuries. I think I heard there were a few, but you feel bad saying no major injuries as if the person who got hurt wasn't worthy. I'm not saying that, but I'd never heard of the guy who got hurt. So even though that sucks, but still, I mean, his name's not Flacco. We're in good shape. But what happened, what you always want in the very first preseason game, other than health, is you want to say, all right, well, what happens when the players that you know are going to be on the team are in the game? Well, what happens? The Ravens dominate. They march right down the field. They also make a fourth and short. They run the ball a lot. So it's almost like, well, we know that the offensive line is going to dominate, which they did. And that's exciting to see. What you also want to do is answer maybe some of the questions we have at receiver. And I believe, I wouldn't mind some input from you guys. I don't believe any questions were answered. I don't believe one single question was answered. Go ahead.
I think with Max Williams, you're tight.
That was going to be the exception.
But for the wide receivers, Perriman's obviously hurt. You're counting on him. After Steve Smith, it's a lot of question marks.
Well, maybe this guy, Nick Boyle, who led the team in receptions. Are you familiar with Nick Boyle?
I'm Team Boyle all
the
way.
Huge Boyle fan.
Now, you guys know that Max Williams, he spells his name with two X's.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's aggressive.
Okay. Do you think you prefer two over one?
I do.
That straight up means his name isn't Maxwell or something. His name is Max.
That's a good point. I would like if it was two M's and two X's.
Max.
Yeah.
Max.
Now, if he had a third X, what do you think?
Well, then he's in a different line of work.
Yeah.
But he'd also be a tight end.
Well, that's a different fourth than long.
Okay, how about this? Your name is Max. Mm-hmm. It can either be Max, M-A-X, Max, M-A-X-X, Max, M-A-X-X-X,
okay.
Max, M-A-X-X-X-X. You have four choices. You're going to rank them. What do you guys think?
The last one. I want as many X's as possible.
You take the four X's.
Why not?
Well, that's Tommy.
Anything past two, you're defying the English language.
I go 2X, 1, 1X, 2, then 4, then 3.
Chris?
I'd go 3, 2, 4, 1.
3 is clearly the worst, right?
Yeah, because then it's max 6.
Let's throw it in here, guys. What about a fifth X?
Let's take calls on this. How many X's do you want in your match?
Phone lines are blowing up.
Ravens 30-27 over the New Orleans Saints. Did they give their best effort? Did the Ravens? I don't know. I was really excited about what I saw in the first quarter, which is when it mattered.
17-0.
And if I'm a Saints fan, I am not happy. I am not excited. Now, their quarterback didn't play. But the guy that they brought in, he appeared to be pretty serviceable, but not when we had our boys in there.
Well, you don't want to be physically manhandled, which is what happened at the beginning of this game. And one of the things I liked with Tressman, the new offensive coordinator, one of the criticisms with him last year as the coach of the Bears, they didn't run the ball enough. And here on the very first drive, Taliaferro gets six carries, ends up with a touchdown. They pounded the ball down their throats, which is what we want.
Another thing that we learned is there might be a brewing quarterback controversy with, of course, Bryn Renner, who won the game.
He did.
Now, is that the whitest name you've ever heard? Bryn Renner. Like, well, I'm going to give you guys some time to think, okay? Well, but it has to be a real person that you've, whose name you've heard. You
like,
can't.
Well, like Magnus Magnuson.
Yeah, but that's a little too cool. You know what I mean? Or
Joe Robinson.
All right, guys. Well, that 30-27 Ravens over the Saints. We're going to be here all night. This is a different style of post game than you're used to. We're going to give you a little bit of game information, but we're also going to try to give you some humor, and hopefully you guys have some laughs tonight, those of you who are up, all seven of you. And if you don't want to laugh, that's okay. This will be short, and then you can listen to. What's the next song coming up, Chris?
On the other side of this quick break, we've got some Black Crowes.
Black Crowes coming up.
Hilarious band.
Joe Robinson on Coors Light Last Call.
Coors Light Last Call on 98 Rock. We'll be
Boom. There you have it, folks. I think it went excellent. All joking aside, I think it was a great first effort.
Yeah, I did like that. Of course, in chat, Eric the actor is asking us if we're trying to make it a Morning Zoo style. He's such a dick. He's just such a dick.
No, we are not. And I have no idea what that question has to do with what we just played.
But I think it goes to an important point that I heard because I listened to your show live. And let me ask you. Just as an observer and a listener of the Rob and Joe show for a while now, the energy level that came out of Joe Robinson during that show was extremely high in comparison to what he brings to this game when he's laying in bed doing the Rob and Joe show every week.
Well, this is the real
me. I agree.
What I'm doing right now is the real me. That requires a little bit more. The other thing is I'm the host. Rob is the host of this show. You understand? Like, he's the one who drives it. He's the one who says, hey, guys, he always intros, he always outros, he gets us into breaks, he gets us out of breaks, all the things that I'm required to do that I hate to do. I hate it.
But the vocal energy that Rob has during this show was equal to his energy on that show.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying, but I do think that in a podcast, you're going to be a little more low-key, I would think, than versus a post-game of a football game. Where you're, it's football. Yeah, all right, everybody, we did it. I think it's more of that vibe.
We also won the game. And, of course, in chat, Eric the actor is saying, so Marcus is now making the exact same point I was making about the over-the-top Morning Zoo style. So he said, I guess Marcus is an a-hole, too. Yes, Eric the actor, Marcus is an a-hole, too. That's 100% correct.
Actually, Marcus didn't say that. He said that, I believe, Marcus, you were saying that, Joe, you liked the energy he gave on the post-game show.
Oh, I thought the show was great. I thought Joe's energy was great. The way you guys played in as a group was great. It really was very different because I am a football fan. I love listening to football radio. I don't usually listen to post-game shows because I don't need that analysis. And you guys were bringing something else to the game entirely, and it was great entertainment.
Well, that's the goal. I guess you're our target audience.
No, thank you. And I felt that... I feel stronger about the show working now than I ever have because I do feel like we threw some little information in there. We're going to break down the game to an extent, but we had some funny segments. You know, I called in as Donald Trump. Tommy did a thing he does called the Great Simbazo.
Great Simbazo, fantastic bit.
Predicting the future. And of course, Eric, the actor, completely missed the point. I like how Marcus said one thing. Eric summed up what he said, and then Marcus, nope, said the exact opposite. I like how Joe did it. Speaking of not getting things, Robbie posted, because, of course, last week's show was without the chat and without Robbie, because we had to do it on Tuesday night. And Robbie tweeted and Facebook posted as a joke, like literally the hours after the show posted, that this show has the lowest ratings. And insinuating, implying that because there's no chat, no Robbie, I think is what he was saying. And of course, Eric, the actor, jumps on that because I guess he thinks once the show's posted, the ratings are already out.
Yes, that's right. They immediately just start pouring in.
Right. So, and I guess he knows somehow people could just tell by like the font or something of when they download it, like if Robbie's on it or the chat, like they don't know that until they start listening, at which point they've already downloaded. But, you know, he does what he does. He doesn't get things. And I was trying to make this point before the show off air. We actually like having the chat. It is a character on the show that we don't want to not do the show without the chat. We like having the chat.
Yeah.
But sometimes we hate the chat. It's kind of like Newman on Seinfeld. He's a horrible person, but you like that he exists on the show.
Well, it's like any relationship where, you know, I mean, there's good times and there's bad times. You know, unfortunately, the bad times are when they're typing things into chat. That's when it's bad.
But good job, Joe. I'm proud of you. The first game of the season will be September 13th. I believe that's a 4:30 game, 4:25. So look for the post-game show to be kicking off at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. And imagine there'll be a lot more listeners. I guess five times the amount of listeners, I would guess, at least.
Oh, I think even way more than that. I mean, people who are driving home will listen to the post-game.
Yeah.
I mean, if people came
well, it's a
to
road game, but yeah,
a preseason yeah. home game, most likely they were, a lot of them left early, right? So you had to get the people that left early probably weren't going to listen. And then the people that left on time, they also had to be, you know, it started a half an hour after the end of the game because they do the, you know,
press conference.
Right, exactly, and all that stuff. So, and then it went on from like 11:30 to 1:30 in the morning, something
yeah,
like that.
It's ridiculously late, but.
That's why there's no primetime post games.
Right. Let's talk about our weekend comedy. Everyone knows, if you're a regular listener to the show, or if you just hang out in Bethesda, Maryland, that Joe is a regular at the Bethesda Hyatt. Well, you were booked there, and you got a date at the Baltimore Comedy Factory to work with Aries Spears, which opened up that date at the Hyatt, which I ended up getting. So,
you're welcome.
Hey, thank you. Win-win. Before we get to my show, your show is much more interesting because Aries Spears is not known to be a very pleasant person. I've worked with him a couple times. Lots of stories on JL's, Covan's podcast, The Righteous Prick. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, he named Aries Spears the worst man in comedy in his March Madness style bracket.
Oh, I didn't know he'd worked with him and he had had a problem with him. JL did?
I believe I can't remember if he'd worked with him firsthand or all his stories were secondhand. But there's the stories of like a guy selling merchandise and then featuring for Aries, and then Aries saw that and just like took his arm and just knocked all his merchandise off the table and said, you can't do that.
Wow.
Aggressive stuff like that. He's not a very friendly person. He requests a white opening act because I guess he wants to be the black guy on the show because I guess he wants that for whatever reason. And
yeah.
You fit the bill, Joe.
I did. I'm the whitest guy around. So as a matter of fact, the reason I got the gig is because a friend of ours, Sonny Fuller, was fired. He's a white guy, but he was too black. So as a result,
yes.
He said, I don't want that guy. He lost that booking because he's not white enough. So manager of the Baltimore Comedy Factory, Chip Kachella, called the whitest person he knows, Joe Robinson. And I was able
Mazo couldn't do it. So.
Yeah, second whitest, I guess. So, well, I had heard these stories. And my thing is this. One thing I never do, I don't go into the green room saying, I'm going to develop a relationship with this guy and network with this guy and try to get work from this person. I don't do it because I live here and I don't travel, so there's no reason. But what I would like to do, especially if I'm spending, 3 days with you, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I want there to be enough of a rapport that I'm not going to be uncomfortable. That's my deal. So I'd already heard this guy's a horrible person. So I'm like, well, I'm going to let him know he doesn't have to worry about me. So I'm sitting in the green room, and he walks in. And the first thing I do is I look at him and I go, oh, do you want some privacy? Like, I will leave this green room if this is your room.
Right.
So he goes, no, I'm good. I go, okay. Then I say one thing to him to be like, hey, I'm willing to engage in conversation with you if you want to. If you don't, we can just sit here and never talk. But you're going to let me know when I ask you this one question. I go, hey, how'd the show go yesterday? He goes,
You did the post-game show on Thursday. You didn't do the
right.
Show.
I wasn't on Thursday. He goes, good. Okay. He doesn't want to talk to me. I leave. I go, I leave. I don't say another word to him. When he leaves the stage after his, by the way, he did 2 hours at the early show on Friday.
Generally, you'll do 45 minutes to an hour would be a headliner set. So he's going
hours
at least twice over.
So what happens is the show started at 7 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 8 o'clock. And then he is walking off the stage at 10:30. Now, the second show starts at 10:30. So they have to flip that whole room in order to get everybody in there. Meanwhile, he's still selling merch and people are running, walking on stage to meet him. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And of course, it's such a shitty and unprofessional thing to do 2 hours because nobody makes any money. They've done
because they give last call and then he's doing another 45 minutes. So they're just sitting there.
There's no money to be made. So it's only water. About you. And these waitresses have to work and they have to stay late and they have to do all this stuff. And but you don't care. And by the way, he's not making any more money either. So it's really only about his ego. You understand? It's not for the audience because the audience, if they come to a show and it's 2.5 hours long, the next time they go to a comedy show, they go, hey, you want to go see Ari Spears? No, I can't because the last time I didn't get home till this time, the babysitter, and I had to pay extra, and no, I can't do it. Let's go see Straight Outta Compton. I mean, that's what happens, right?
Well, sometimes with these guys, and Eddie Griffin is one that would do 2 or 2.5 hours. We've made fun of our buddy Mickey Coachella for going over a lot. And I always wondered why that happened. And I kind of feel like some of these guys are just, that's the only time they're happy is on stage.
Yeah, no, and he's a super miserable guy. But so let me.
So they want it to last as long as possible.
When after that show, he walked off stage. I saw him. I said, good set. So far, the only thing I've said to him is, would you like some privacy? How'd the show go yesterday? And good set. That's the only thing I've said to him so far. Fast forward to the next day. I see him. I'm standing 4 feet from him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, I'm human. I have to acknowledge that he's here. I can't.
Right.
So I go, hey, how you doing, man? And he had to just put lotion on. He gives me a fit, like fist bump. Okay, we're good. I've done what I need to do, right? So now I'm getting ready to do he does the first show. I say, good set. That's the fifth thing I've said to him. Now the second show, I'm on stage. I get the light. The light, by the way, for the people listening, means it's time to get off stage. Mm-hmm. I do 2 more jokes and I get off stage. As I'm walking off the stage, I see him, Ari Spears, and Chip having a conversation that looks a little, you know, not heated, but, you know, it's an angry conversation.
Terse.
Right? Right.
Good word.
He walks by me and I say, have a good set. And he didn't say a word. So I'm like, oh, shit. Right? So I go, what was that, Chip? He said you ran the light. Now, running the light means that you saw the light and you kept going. Now, I know that I didn't do this. So now I'm only doing 15 minutes. A feature set is 20 to 25. He's already cut it down to 15. I'll do 5. I make the same amount of money. I'm trying to do my job. I'm not trying to do anything other than my job. But afterwards, I walked back to the DJ. I said, how much time did I do? I did 17 minutes. I went 2 minutes over my time.
And that caused to just be irate.
He said to Chip, he goes, these people are here to see him, me, not him. By the way, he's right. He's right. But if that's the case, you don't even just don't have a warm-up act. The reason that you have an MC and a feature is because that's the way a show goes. You don't have to walk out ice cold. The MC, Alabama, did 8 minutes. I did 17. Alabama was supposed to do 10. I was supposed to do 15. Everybody did what they were supposed to do anyway. It's 25 minutes of comedy before he walks on stage.
Right.
Everybody was laughing, but he's just such a dick. He needs to make it uncomfortable. Now, the problem is I still have to go see this fucker the next day. I have to see him again.
Didn't he tell you to not do certain kind of jokes, too? Wasn't that part
of it? Well, that was early on. He said, don't do any racial jokes after we did our first set. And I don't do any racial jokes, but I did address the idea that I was the only white person in the room. There was 250 black people and me.
How can you not address that?
I'm going to have to act like that's not happening. I don't mention it. I just walk out there. That reflects poorly on me and the show. If he's like, well, this guy, obviously he can't handle the situation because he's acting like it's not occurring. No, I have to mention it, whatever. But now the next day, I'm like, I don't want to fucking hang out with this guy. I don't want to see this guy who's such a dick that he went and told on me for going 2 over. Now, think about the ego on this guy, by the way. He's been doing between 90 and 120 minutes. I did 2 extra minutes.
Yeah. And which is nothing. Home. It's nothing.
You don't really do 2 extra minutes. That's within the margin of error. You've done your set. You're fine. And it'd be, if I was bombing, whatever, but I'm not. I'm having a really good set and I'm doing my time and I leave and he's still going to find something to be upset about. And now I don't even want to hang. I don't even want to be there with this guy anymore. But of course I have to be there. I literally managed to never see him the last day. And I told Chip, the manager, I said, listen, have my check ready when I walk off stage so I can be gone. I'm not hanging around and watching this guy for 2 hours.
Well,
he does 120 minutes and gets mad when I do an extra two.
I've done 2 weeks with him and he was fine to me. You know, we didn't talk a lot, but he was, you know, relatively friendly to me. But he would kind of complain. He thinks he should be doing better than he is. He thinks he should be Kevin Hart. He mentioned him several times. He said he's went on radio programs and bitched about Kevin Hart. He thinks he should be making $100,000 in one show. Now, granted, the guy's doing well. He's probably making 10, 15 grand a week doing comedy. He's in the top.
Yeah, he's not struggling.
1%. He's killing it. But he is unhappy where he is at. He feels like
he should be the guy about him. He's hysterical.
Oh, he kills.
He's hysterical. So, yeah, I mean, there's no reason for this. He can just sit in his room and nothing. Like, it's almost like I did a show recently in, Finksburg, where the guy who ran it had 9 comics on the show. 9. Now, you and I know it's a paid show. I'm getting paid to do it. So people are sitting through 9 comics and, you know, no offense to the 9 comics. There were some good ones, but when there's 9, you know there's going to be some shit, right?
Yeah, so you're not going to get 9 comics that are good to do a free show in somewhere, not named New York City or Los Angeles.
So now somebody didn't show up. I'm like, thank God we don't have to hear all these people. This guy who's running the show pulled a woman out of the audience and had her do stand-up. And I walked over to him. I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, somebody dropped out. I go, listen, good. That was good that somebody dropped out. I go, stop putting extra people on this show. But again, that had a lot more. Maybe I'm like Ari Spears. Maybe I'm him. Maybe they looked at me as that. But that was a legitimate, awful thing to do to an audience. This is, they're already only seeing 25 minutes of pre. And then they hear 2 hours of him. If he has to do 117 because I did an extra 3, I don't think that that's a huge deal.
Do you think he would have had you fired if this was the first show of the week? And he?
I don't know.
Because he's known to ask to have people fired.
Well, Chip told me that the time before he had asked to have a bar back fired. I guess he looked at him the wrong way or something. Chip's like, I can't fire him. I need him. He carries beer. He carries shit around. I need him. I can't do that.
The only kind of weird thing with him and I in, Dayton last year, he was selling CDs. He sells them for like $30. I don't know how he does that, but whatever. And I have the square, the reader that'll take a credit card. He didn't have that. And someone wanted to pay with a credit card. So I'll do it. So this happened for like 3 people. So I think he sells it for $25. That's what it is. So now I owe him $75. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it, but I don't have the cash on me. I mean, I'll see you tomorrow and get it. He goes, all right, well, can you get it to me tonight? I'm not going to go to the ATM. No, I'll get it to you tomorrow. I'm going to be here tomorrow. Okay, I'm good for it. Like, I'm going to cheat you out of $75. Of course, then I see him the next night. I give him the money. And I'm actually losing money because they take a percentage. And it's like, I'm doing you the favor here, dude. It's not a lot of money, but you're making $75 you wouldn't made without me.
Well,
don't act like I'm going to try to rob you of this.
He feels very entitled, which, I mean, I guess I get. I mean, I feel entitled sometimes too. But honestly, I do, as much as that we joke around, I want to be liked. I don't want to be at a place where everybody hates me. And maybe that's not important to him, but it isn't like he's got this. He's not a greater good guy. It's not this integrity that he's trying. Nobody is being harmed by the feature doing 17 minutes instead of 15. There's no harm. It's a reasonable thing.
He was just looking for something to get angry at you about, and that's what he could find.
Yeah, I think he – here's the thing, and they brought up a good point because he does 2 hours, right? And they're like, well, they think the more you light him, the angrier he gets. But if you don't light him, he won't get off stage. So there's no – you know what I mean? There's no safe place to go. And I think that
can't win
because I didn't try to endear myself to him, that he probably didn't like me. But if I did try to endear myself to him, that's probably what he, that would annoy him as well. There's no, you know, there's no pleasing this guy. I will tell you something that he did do, which is kind of hilarious. Because I couldn't do Thursday, another comic, and I won't give out his name because of the story I'm going to tell, another comic had to fill in for me. Well, then Friday on the 98 Rock Morning Show, they started, they were he was in studio, Ari Spears, and he goes, yeah, the feature gave me weed. He outed, you know, people know who the feature is. He literally just said over the airways that.
Well, that's why he was upset. He wanted that guy back, and now you're showing up.
I'm not giving this guy weed. Screw him. If I had it, I wouldn't give it to him.
Let's take a break, Joe. We'll come back and we'll hear about my experience at the Bethesda Hyatt, thanks to you and Aries. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, September 4th at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So the Bethesda Hyatt is a room that's been, I don't know, is it 10 years now? Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I used to work there all the time. Kurt. This guy runs it. He's kind of a peculiar guy, but he's in love with you. And at some point he fell out of favor with me and he'll give you the, I'm on his email list and he'll email, you know, fallout for Saturday. Who can do it? And I've responded immediately in many instances and never gotten a reply. So this happens again this past week. I want to say it was like Thursday or something. And I say, yeah, I can do it. That's how fat my calendar is. And he finally says, yeah, you got it. So I'm happy because, you know, I've been wanting to get back in there. It's a fun little room. He does a good job promoting it. It's usually packed. So I get there. They have three newcomers, first timers. They're each doing 3 minutes, but they all brought people. So it's packed. It's sold out. There's an energy in the room because you have that people that are there to cheer someone on kind of energy. That's not normal for a comedy show where they're just kind of there. So you had this good vibe. This guy, Josh Coderna, who's the MC, if you remember from a few weeks ago, JK, a.k.a. LOL.com or whatever. That's the guy requested that he change his nickname to that name. But anyway, he has a killer opening MC set. He crushes as good as you're going to do. And then there's an intermission between the feature and then there's two new people and then me. And this woman comes up to him, and this is what people do. She goes, you were great tonight. Which is all you need to say. Then she goes, I saw you here like 2 months ago. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. And you were so much better this time. So
yeah.
So she can't just say you were great. She has to say you're great, but 2 months ago you weren't great.
You know who's done that to me before?
Who's that?
Gramps.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got, I think you told your jokes a little bit differently last. Like if I didn't have a great set, I remember right. That one time. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we don't like to hear that. So we generally, we know what we did right or wrong, but whatever. So there's this one girl goes up like in the first half of the show, newcomer. Then these two guys go back to back in front of me. They each do 3 minutes. And this one guy, he's a black guy. His name's Colin, which I'd never heard of before. Black
Colin?
Guy. Yes.
That's what do you mean? There's a million people named Colin.
Black guys named Colin?
Oh, a black guy. I thought you were just saying you never heard the name Colin. Okay.
No.
Black guy named Colin. Yes, you're right. Yeah. That's pretty rare.
Colin Powell.
Colin no. Powell. Go ahead.
Not Colin.
But it's spelled the same way.
It's pronounced Colin. So I go up there, and this is one of these times where you start up so strong, you're like, fuck, I don't know if I can follow this. And I'm just making fun of this guy named Colin, because there's a guy named, I want to think his name was Tony. And the girl named Becca. And I'm like, I would have thought for sure you were Tony. I would have believed you were Becca before you were Colin. Okay. So I'm making fun of that. His mom was there. his brother's name. His brother's name is Carlton. I'm making fun of that. Her name is like Dawana or something, really black, and she's got really white kids' names. I'm making fun of that. The guy that just went up before, Tony, he's with his girlfriend. I say, you got to have sex with him tonight. He did well. They're saving themselves for marriage. So that you never hear that. They're Catholic.
Well, they're saying that in front of the mom, but go ahead.
No, that's different family. No, that's Colin. Tony is not with – Tony's the white guy. He's not with his mom. They're not having sex until marriage. I'm making fun of that. The brother, the black guy's brother, is with this white girl, Carlton. She's crying. Not crying like laughing. They just had a fight intermission. She's right in front of me. I look over. She has tears in her eyes. So I keep acknowledging, like, what's wrong? And it's getting really awkward. I'm like, I want to make you laugh. I keep going back. I mean, this is, no one's saying anything. So I'm just totally riffing in all this. And it was one of the best sets I've had in a long time.
Yeah, so much so. I got the woman who runs the room. Kurt wasn't there. The girl who runs the room, Jen, friend of ours, she texted me and told me you were crushing.
Yeah, it was.
I'm like,
was
I don't need perfect. You to. Don't worry, he's gonna tell me. I don't need a special text.
Yeah. And at the end of the night, I finally got the girl to smile, but because I've never seen. Usually, when a couple's that upset, someone they leave at some point. They don't just sit there. But she just sit there with tears in her eyes for 45 minutes.
You think you took my gig? You think Kurt's gonna be calling you instead of me?
That's what Kurt said on Facebook.
Nope,
You've replaced Joe.
I already got another booking.
Yeah, you better not fuck it up.
I already sent it to Robbie.
You better not screw it up. I got to hang out with Robbie and Mike Chamberlain this past Friday night. Suck on that, Joe.
Yeah, no, that's nothing to brag about.
Interesting dynamic. Michael Chamberlain. Marcus doesn't know because he can't remember who's who, but Michael Chamberlain is our entertainment correspondent, our magician, our theater director, and Robbie's friend of 20 plus years. By the way, this is how they first met. Tell me this isn't the classic story. What was the movie, Robbie, that Michael Chamberlain saw?
I said it was Ironweed. That was my recollection.
Okay. Robbie's working at the movie theater. What are you, 20 years old or something? And
I was younger than that. I was in my teens.
Okay, you're 17, 18. And he doesn't know Chamberlain. Chamberlain comes out of Ironweed just yelling about how much it sucked. He's upset.
Well, I don't remember Ironweed. What was
neither
it?
Do I.
Meryl Streep and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do remember that.
And then Robbie started talking to them. They've been best friends ever since. But it's this weird dynamic. We're at this Mexican restaurant. It's me, Robbie, his girlfriend, and then Chamberlain and his wife. And Chamberlain and his wife, they show up later. So we've already ordered. They get there. And Chamberlain's like, well, what do I like here? He's never been there before. Robbie is treating him like a child or like someone with spectral needs. He's like,
he also calls him Michael. Do you know that?
Yeah. He goes, you'll get the salad. You'll like that. You'll like that. No, it doesn't have this. It's like you would tell a kid what to order because they don't know what to order. And he's like, okay. Does it have rice? It does have rice. It's so funny.
Yeah, but it's again, that coupled with, okay, Michael, well, what they have over here, the appetizers, you know, yes. I know that. Okay, you're lactose intolerant, so you're not going to want to have anything cream-based. Yeah, no, I know. I hear that. When he used to come to Robbie's house and they used to hang out ahead of time, that's how he talked to him. But I think he likes it.
I think he does, too. He felt right at home.
He likes being a cuckold or whatever he does. He likes being dominated and told what to do.
So the subject of Birdman came up. And if you remember, a few months ago, we had a heated back and forth about the movie Birdman. Just to summarize, Joe and I thought the premise sounded great, and this was after all the buzz, the Oscar stuff. We liked the premise, wanted to see it. Robbie hated the premise, which we thought was weird because it seemed like a premise he would like, and didn't think it was going to be good. So we all went into this with pre-existing notions.
Then we found out that Howard Stern had talked about it. And then I mentioned that, and Robbie got very defensive about that. It became not fun. We argued. It wasn't like it was a pleasant thing.
Right.
It wasn't like joking around with one another. He took it super sensitively.
No, Robbie's emailing us like random, like, sports broadcasters that hated the movie.
Dan Levitard doesn't like it. You know, yeah. He has no idea who the person is. Who is it? JT the Brick or something? He doesn't even know who these people
Max,
are.
Max, the Russo, the dog, whatever. Mad Dog Russo. Chris Russo. And so it became a thing on the show. Now, Michael Chamberlain is the most, you know, artsy of all of us. And I and the movie's about, you know, a theater production. So it seemed like a movie that he might like. But it also seemed like I would think that Robbie and Mike probably agree on things. So I was curious. Well, turns out Chamberlain loved it. Robbie. He gave it an A. And everything that Robbie hated about it, Chamberlain loved. He loved the camera stuff. He thought it drew you in. He didn't notice at all. Robbie said that's all he noticed. He loved Edward Norton. Robbie didn't. I mean, it was amazing. It was like, yes.
Did he do it what Robbie does, but the opposite? Where you use a voice inflection to just discredit something. He used the same thing to build it up.
He used facts. He was crushing Robbie.
No, in fact, he actually said, Robbie's not alone. This movie does divide people.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, it divides them 15 to 85. We're already familiar with the division. We've already discussed this.
We're on the 85.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was good to see.
Some people don't like steak, by the way. Yeah. You know that?
Some people hate apps. Yeah.
Right. Some people hate it. Some people, hey, some men, they don't like beautiful women. They like hairy fat guys with penises.
Well, Marcus saw it just recently, too. I want to hear what Marcus thought.
Yeah, Marcus, you saw it.
For me to have liked the movie, they needed to cut out all those surreal scenes of him using his force powers and flying over the street. Cut out that, and I thought it would have been a great film with just him and the voices in his head that were driving him. I think Edward Norton did a great job, but yeah, just those moments where all of a sudden it becomes some weird, I don't know. I couldn't reason it to, it's just something in his head.
I hear you on that. I could have done with less of that. I think that's a reasonable critique of the movie.
So does that mean you didn't like it?
What's your grade, your letter grade?
I'd give it a B minus.
See, I'm in the B. I'm in the B range.
Yeah, I give it a B also.
Yeah. All right. So we have everyone but Robbie. Anyway, Colonel Sanders, you've seen the new ads. They were starring Daryl Hammond of SNL fame. Well, he's been fired. He's been booted. And Norm McDonald.
Why was
Norm McDonald? Because they didn't like him. He didn't test well. People didn't like it. They thought his character was creepy, whatever.
Yeah, he sounded and looked like a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
And he didn't sound like the original Colonel Sanders either, which I thought was weird for a guy who does voices.
Hold on. We got to get somewhere here for a second. First of all, he was dressed up like Colonel Sanders. So if he looked like a pedophile, then you're saying that he's wearing a white suit with that stupid black bow tie or what, not bow, but you know what I'm talking about? It wasn't a bow tie.
No, he was walking and it's just this.
You've just made my argument, Joe.
Okay, well, then that's fine. As long as you concede that just Colonel Sanders is dressed like a pedophile. By the way, I don't think a pedophile wears a white suit unless he's serving ice cream out of a truck, right? And they don't just walk up in a white suit like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever.
Again, Joe, you're selling it. Yeah, I don't have to do any work here. You're selling the pedophile thing to everybody.
Selling your five. Is that a candy? He's giving you a $5 box lunch or whatever. I got you.
Are you? I like Norm Macdonald. I mean, that intrigues me. I didn't give her.
You see what they're doing though? They're kind of trying to. I see what they're doing. They're trying to not look like the Colonel at all, but he's the Colonel. You know, they have him having. You know, basically, I think he's wearing a wife beater in one of them. They have him putting on his suit or his pedophile suit, according to Marcus.
Is he going to sound like Norm Macdonald, or is it going to sound like?
No, he sounds like Norm Macdonald.
No, Norm, he just basically sounds like a toned down version of Norm. It's fun.
Yeah, he's just doing his own voice.
I think this could become a thing where it's like a James Bond or a Batman where they're constantly giving a new role to someone. I could see the trend being that we're going to have a female Colonel Sanders.
Oh, man, that's not going to work with the beard. Come on, guys.
No, she's not a man. She's a woman. Women can be colonels, Joe.
I know that, but she's going to have white hair and a white. Like, yes. That's the idea that these people are dressed up like Colonel Sanders. So, I mean, if you have Britney
Spears.
She's
not going to have a beard. She's going to be a woman.
But she's going to have white hair and a white suit.
Yeah, she's going to be Betty White. Betty White is my.
Betty White's like 900 years old now.
This would have been my choice. If she can rehabilitate her image, Paula Deen.
No, there's no coming back from that.
If she
it's
could
have to be an old lady. Maybe Kathy Bates could do it. Helen Mirren.
Helen, we can't have a British Colonel Sanders.
She can't. She does too well to be in a Colonel Sanders commercial or KFC commercial. But Kathy Bates, you could get.
What about Meryl Streep?
You're not going to get Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, her most challenging role of all time.
How about Gilbert?
If you could have any female to play Colonel Sanders, who would it be?
I told you, I want Paula Deen.
That's your, if you could have anybody.
Yes, because she's already in, she makes fried chicken. So it's in her wheelhouse, her brand of food.
I would want it to be Kim Kardashian.
I want it to be Caitlyn Jenner. That's my Colonel Sanders.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Yes. What about a black Colonel Sanders? That could happen.
Yeah.
People would somehow say that's racist for some reason.
I'll accept black Colonel Sanders before a woman Colonel Sanders.
Danny Glover, would he be a good Colonel Sanders?
That would be a great Danny Glover. He's not too old for this shit. Let me see. Who would be a good Morgan Freeman?
Sorry, Katie. Normally, I would get upset that Katie's interrupting the show, but she said Daniel Day-Lewis, which I agree.
Not believable. He couldn't pull it off.
He could be the woman. He could do anything.
Yeah. So you would say, Robbie, you want a black before a female Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, a female, especially a sexy female Colonel Sanders, that's sacrilegious. But a black Colonel Sanders, I'll buy into that.
Okay. And thing ever would be a black female Colonel Sanders. Is that what you're saying, Rob?
What about an Asian Colonel Sanders?
That's silly.
Would that Lucy Liu? How about Jackie Chan as Colonel Sanders?
That's good. Pat Morita would have been a great.
Yeah.
I think the flavor of the day, and especially if you give her the latitude to write the script, give it to Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer as Colonel Sanders. I mean, you're taking it totally different. But I mean, she's red hot, so she'd probably make it work. Eric Woodworth just texted us. He says, Cedric the Entertainer. I could see that.
Yeah, he would be good.
Jordan Spieth. Sorry, he didn't.
Jordan Spieth, he would be good.
He'd be good at everything. Let's take a break. We'll talk about the death.
We got to talk about my appearance on 98 Rock tomorrow.
We do. And the death of Batman. Be right back.
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer. Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in Robin Joe. That's Stamps.com. Promo code Rob and Joe.
The Robin Joe Show.
Warning, local story. This happened near Baltimore. Batman died, Joe.
I'd heard this. By the way, there's a bunch of different Batmans. There's also a DJ named Batman. He's alive, right?
I hope so. Lenny Robinson, I believe he made money in a dry cleaning business. He bought a Lamborghini, souped it up, made it look like the Batmobile. Has a Batman outfit, would go to hospitals, visit kids, hand out Batman paraphernalia.
Real quick, is he allowed to do that?
I would think so. I mean, he's not making money off of it.
I mean, you'd be a dick if you like had a problem with that, but I got to imagine that stuff's all trademarked. You can't just call yourself Batman and wear the Batman logo, right?
Well, if he's doing it for charity, I mean, you're...
No, I'm not saying ethically or morally or just doing the right thing. I'm just saying that I guarantee you that's licensed and protected. Either way, it doesn't matter at this point. He's dead.
Right. Yeah, well, what happened is his Batmobile broke down, and I guess he was trying to work on it on the side of the road and Interstate 70 near Hagerstown, Maryland, and a Toyota Camry hit him or hit the car, and then the car hit him. And it's tough being a superhero, Joe. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you feel horrible killing someone no matter what, but you killed this do-gooder.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was clearly, if he was wearing his Batman stuff, he was on his way to help a sick kid, or he just finished helping a sick kid, and then you killed him.
I would imagine that this person will never be able to watch Batman again.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. I mean, every time, and it's not like Batman rarely comes up. I mean, I hear somebody mention Batman when we did the post game, they were in there talking about Batman.
Yeah. It may be not even just Batman, maybe every superhero is just done for this person.
What if the kids saw Batman get run over by the car?
Not the sick kid. I don't think that's even possible. Obviously, that would be bad.
But I mean, looking out the hospital, you know, window, and they
said, dude, no, that would traumatize a kid. Because here's the thing. If you're a little kid, I mean, yes, there's still this magical thing where you think, all right, this is really Batman. You know, how many kids that go to see Santa Claus say, hey, we're seeing Santa Claus. I'm sure Chris Restivo still thinks it's Santa Claus in the mall.
What are you saying, Joe?
Well, my point is that if these kids now, they see Santa Claus, I mean, they see Batman get killed by a car, they won't recover from that. Whatever their disease is, it doesn't matter. If somehow, miraculously, they recover, they have PTSD that they're going to be dealing with the rest of their lives.
Says it would take him 45 minutes to put on the black eye makeup in his superhero uniform, which drained him of 5 to 6 pounds in water weight every time he wore it. So he made a real effort to do this.
Well, he had a Batman outfit. I think I'll guarantee you, if I had a Batman outfit, I'd find a way to wear it 4 or 5 times a year.
Well, it obviously you could double up on Halloween. Usually, you can get 2 nights out of it, maybe 3. Yeah, you just show up wearing it. I mean, of all the superhero outfits, that's the coolest one to wear, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because if you're Superman, you got to be jacked.
Yeah.
I guess, not, actually, if you were Iron Man, if you came in full Iron Man suit, that might be as cool as coming in a Batman suit.
But that seems harder to replicate.
No, you just said what's cooler.
Yeah, you're right.
So if I came in full, but that's it. Those two. I mean, I don't know, Spider-Man. I just thought about that. And I've seen people wearing the entire Spider-Man suit. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you got to be jacked for that, too.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that, yeah, I couldn't pull that off, but I could sure as hell pull off Iron Man.
So you would do the Bethesda Hyatt?
No, I would not. We've talked about that on here before. We had somebody wearing a Breathe Right strip. I had a problem with it. You think I'm going to wear an Iron Man? You think I'm going to wear an Iron Man suit? Not going to happen.
Comedy Kumite. Remember, I did it a couple months ago at the DC Improv.
Yeah, you thought you did a bad job. You thought you had a bad strategy.
Yeah, because I thought I'd play the heel. You know, I would be a dick because I thought people would get into it. And they just didn't like it. Well, this time I'm like, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm not going to have any shtick. I'm just going to go up and tell my jokes. Welp, lost in the first round again. So.
Who were you up against?
Girl named Natalie McGill. I feel good because she ended up winning the whole thing. It took three. The crowd decides just by cheers. It took 3 attempts for Chris White, the judge, the runner of the show, to determine who won. So it was super close. But I did just get the vibe. She's a much younger woman than me. She's a black.
Is she hot?
She's attractive. She's tiny. So she. I just felt like.
They feel like they're protective.
Yes. So I felt like because we each walk out to some song, I requested Warrior, that song from the 80s, I'm a Warrior, I think it's a funny song. And she had some dance song, like Whoop, There It Is or something. And when I walked out, they're, yay. And then she walks out, people were dancing. I'm like, they're already rooting for her. They already are going to root for her. So we do rock, paper, scissors, decide who goes first, or who decides who goes first. And she wins and picks to go first, which no one's ever done. Everyone goes second.
Of course.
So that's cool. She goes first. She has a good set. And then at this point in the show, I'm the 6th comic, the 3rd pairing, and the 1st comic to perform was White. And since then, there had been 4 straight black comedians. So I open with, man, finally a white guy. Am I right? And I just put my hand out to this white woman, and she shakes it. So then I make fun of that because I'm like, I was kidding. Now you're being racist.
Right. That's funny.
Which gets a huge laugh. And then I say, 4 in a row. What is this, Black History Month? It's not even February. And then it got a little weird. But anyway. I definitely took it a couple beats too far. But I had a very good set. And I probably, because you do 5, and I got the light at 4, and it was in between jokes, so I probably did 4.5. I probably should have tried to stretch, and maybe went a little over like you did with Aries Spears' joke.
Right.
You know, I felt like when I was done, I was like, it's going to be close. So they say, cheer for Natalie. And she has a roommate there, and I don't know if she had other friends there, but her roommate is screaming, high-pitched, shrill.
Right.
And then they vote for me. It's super close. Can't tell. So they said, all right, one more time. Again, couldn't tell.
Roommate Chris, still screaming.
Yeah. Chris even said, I don't know.
Like
I think
Ella Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah. I said, I think it might be Rob, but the shrieking is high, more higher pitched. So the previous contest had went to they couldn't decide either. So they did a dance off. They played music. And I had said, walking up, I said, I'm not doing a dance off. I'm not going to win that. Well, here we go. Dance off. So I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? I can I outdance her? Of course not. So it was so awkward, Joe. I like, it was that song, My Pony, you know, by Genuine.
Ugh.
And I take the mic cord and I wrap it around her and I get behind her like I'm trying to be this sensual, erotic thing, and I just look like I'm sexually assaulting her.
And then they go, okay, now we can have a clear winner.
And then, all right, do it again, 95%.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
No, I was like, oh, my God. But oh, well, what are you going to do?
Eric the Actor says he'd pay money for that video.
Yeah, no, it's he would enjoy it. Because it was awkward.
Well, 0-2, Rob. That means you're going to have to win the whole thing just to be, you know, near 500 in just these things.
Respect. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Come on. You're embarrassing the show.
I am. I'm sorry, man. Maybe you can get in the next one.
Well, tomorrow, Wendy Townsend is doing the news on 98 Rock.
Yeah, and week after calling you out, she gets.
She called me, right. She said that I did it and I was awful. And we talked about that on here. As a matter of fact, she thought Marcus was kind of hard on her because he goes, that was bullshit, which I appreciated because I can't be the guy that says that. Marcus has to, you know, people have to do that for me. I look like a bad guy. But tomorrow I got to critique. After she does the news, they're going to call me and I critique.
Yeah. So this will happen on Tuesday. By the time you guys listen to this, it will have already happened more than likely, but we'll be posting about it. But you,
well, I got to think of my strategy. Fair? I got to think of my strategy because here's the thing. When I used to watch The Dating Game, they'd go, how did the date go? And if that were me and the date didn't go well, I'd be like, you know, I had a great time. I'd love to go out with her again and let her be the villain. I don't want, even if it's horrible, I'm not going to say it.
Right.
So I don't know that I can, I don't know that this is even going to work because I'm not going to just shit on somebody. I mean, listen, Wendy's a friend, but I would not do what she did. I wouldn't. I wouldn't knock her down to build me up. I wouldn't do it. So, you know, if it's horrible, I'm going to act like it's good. It's going to be a bad segment because tomorrow when you listen, I'm going to say I think she did a good job. I don't care if she literally hums for 15 minutes.
No, just tell the truth. How about that? If she did awful, say it was awful. You don't have to be mean about it. Just say it wasn't your best
effort. I'm going to be skew good. It's just not me just to take a crap. I'm just not going to do it.
Just be smarmy like you always are, Joe.
No, I mean, these are people that I know. You know what I mean? If I'm distanced from people, then yes. But I'm not scared. Like, if I have to crap on Rob and then I have to see him, and that's different because, you know, but this is important to her. She's, like, lobbying to do this. If I take a dump on it, it's going to be tension. There's going to be tension. So I can't. I can't tell the truth. If it's bad, I can't say it. If it's good, I'll say it.
Isn't there a funny middle ground? Can't you say something to the effect of, she had a really great opening, really great ending. The stories were just bad.
No, I'll probably do one of two things. If it's awful, I'm going to be like, she did a great job. And if it's good, I'm going to say she did a great job. I'm not going to put myself.
You know how good a segment that would be if you just said, Wendy, look, I like you, but it didn't work. If you were being honest, if it really didn't work.
I won't be.
But if it didn't work and you called it out, because everyone's going to be being nice. So it's that's going to suck because the listeners are going to know it's bullshit.
And I know they're expecting me to just throw haymakers, but I don't know that I can do that.
Is it because it's Wendy or is it because she's a female? Because if it was me, you would be honest.
No, it's not
because she's
a female. It's because it's Wendy. What if Wendy's sensitive? She's not going to be okay with me taking it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just say it's good. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to be funny.
Remember Sarah Symington, Rob?
Well, I don't know Sarah Symington. I'll certainly take a crap on Sarah Symington. She's somebody I don't know.
Right.
You know, but I know Wendy and I know she can be a little sensitive. So I'm not going to, you know what I mean? You think that if it's bad and I pointed out that that's a good thing for me. That's one good segment and then a lifetime of hell. I'm not going to do it.
What if she has some obvious speaking blunders that just it's clear? Are you going to at least acknowledge, say, hey, you know, you said a few words wrong. You stumbled a bit, but I really liked it. Are you at least going to say that?
If she calls the Coors Light last call, Bud Light last call, I'll mention it.
Okay. All right. Do we have time to tell the cuddling story, Joe?
Can we save it?
Yeah, we can save it.
Can we tease it for next week?
Yeah, we have a friend who's, I don't know, what is he? How much would you say he weighs?
Probably 300 pounds.
He's a 300-pound black man that is trying to get a job cuddling.
Second interview. He went to a second interview. I don't know how you interview. Don't you just hug somebody and they go, that feels good? And then they go, okay, are you going to rape this person? And then you say no. I guess we'll talk about it. We're already in the middle.
That'll be next week. scuttling for $15 an hour. Yeah, I could use some money. I'll be at Roadie Joe's this Saturday. It's in Salisbury, Maryland. It's far away. Joe, you got anything?
I think I do, but I can't remember. Go to joerobinsoncomedy.com and look at my schedule. I'm pretty sure I have a show kind of this week. I just can't remember what it is.
And, of course, the first week in September, big week for both of us. September 4th, the Arlington Cinema and Draft House with Rob Spiewak, the murder mystery show, returns, The Last Laugh. I will be September 3rd through 5th headlining the Goobies Joke House with a friend of the show, J.L. Covan.
Yeah, I saw that. And then Mickey. So I got Mickey and you back-to-back weeks at McGoobies, and neither one of you have me featuring.
Yep, sounds about right. Rob and Joe Show. See you next week.
Later.
Bud Light.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.